Come on. Amen. Amen. We bless God for his grace and we bless God for his goodness and just for who he is and for all that he has done. And once again, it's so good to see all of us here today on this Palm Sunday, y'all. It is the week before Easter at the Bridge. Come on, somebody. Y'all make some noise. Amen. And you may have noticed, I know for those of you guys who are online, you don't have this. But for those of us who are in here, you got two items in your seats. One is a door hanger. The other is an invite card. Here's what I'm asking all of us to do. We don't want anything left over by the end of service today. We want y'all to take all of these things, and we want you guys to go use these door hangers in your own community. Invite people around you to next week's service, because we believe that an encounter and an experience with Jesus can change their life forever. Amen, somebody? And so, hey, I'm not telling you you got to go talk to your neighbor. If you want to, that's cool. It could just be just like a hit and run right quick. Like, just go put that thing on the door hanger, and then just be out, you know, like just run. But then this invite card right here, we want you to use these invite cards to invite some friends, to invite some coworkers, to invite some family members. Next week, y'all, we're believing for a great and incredible harvest, and we're excited about what God is going to do. But then also this Friday, of course, we got our Good Friday worship experience at 7 o'clock p.m., and so that's going to really kind of kick off our Easter weekend. But then on Sunday, April 7th, everybody say April 7th. On April 7th, we got Welcome Home Sunday happening the week after Easter. And Welcome Home Sunday is really just another reason to invite friends and families to church. And so on that Sunday, y'all, we're going to have food trucks outside. We're going to have bounce houses. We're going to have inflatables. We're going to have music. It's going to be just a big old party. We're not going to just party on Easter Sunday. We're going to keep the celebration going even the week after. And so that's going to be an awesome celebration. So we want you to go ahead and start inviting some people for the next 2 weeks. Be like, hey, for the next 2 weeks, you got to come to my church, because we got some things that's going to be really, really cool. And so we're looking forward to all that's going to happen over the next few weeks here at the Bridge. Amen, somebody? Amen, amen. So it's good to have us all here, and I'm excited to get in God's Word today. And one thing I do want to mention that I did not mention in the first service, one of the things that we just did over these past few weeks was we came out of our relationship series, Assembly Required. And we've heard so many stories and testimonies of God's faithfulness and God's goodness to so many people, and just the transformation of some of the breakthrough and some of the healing that's happened over these past few weeks as we've been in that series. But one thing that I want to let you know about is that when you make the decision to do things God's way, the enemy is going to come after you. He is going to bring about spiritual warfare. Because when we make a decision that we're going to bring our life into alignment with the will of God and with the word of God, the enemy is going to do everything he can to discourage us, to distract us, and to detour us from going with God. But I want to let you know, as we just sang about it, it won't work. That what the enemy has planned for evil, God will use it for the good. And I'm here to let you know, if you already feel attacked, it's like, man, Pastor, I've been trying to do things God's way, but it feels like things are just ramping up around me. I'm here to let you know, that means you're on the right track. So instead of loathing that, I want you to begin to give God praise for it, because it's confirmation that God is working in your life. Amen. And so Peter says, don't be surprised by the suffering that you experience when it comes to doing God's will and doing God's way. And so I just wanted to encourage us with that as we seek to continue just to be in alignment and be in agreement with what God has for us. But today is Palm Sunday, and I'll talk about that more in a moment. But just from the outset, it represents the day that over 2,000 years ago in which Jesus entered in Jerusalem. And people were cutting palm branches, and they were laying them on the road as he was entering into Jerusalem to celebrate him as he entered the city. And that's really what I want to lean into today. And so we're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And I'm just going to ask us just to stand just for the reading of God's word, just to honor his word. But Matthew, chapter 21. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 of Matthew 21. And here is what the Bible says in verse 1. It says, when they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them. Somebody say the Lord needs them. and he will send them at once. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and then they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting palm branches or branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Somebody say Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar saying, who is this? I want to preach from this theme and thought as we are here on this Palm Sunday, the week before Easter Sunday, and I want to call today's sermon, Let Him Through. Tell the person beside you, it's time to let him through. Find somebody else and tell them, it's time to let him through. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your presence. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us in a real way and in a practical way. God, would you refresh our souls and our minds? Would you help us to get in alignment with you? Because we know that when we do things your way, it leads to life and life more abundantly. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. Amen. Let him through. Now, church family, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where someone knocked on your door and you saw that it was maybe someone selling something, and you maybe said to yourself or said out loud, I am not opening this door. I am not letting them in. Anybody ever done that? By show of hands, I just want to make sure I'm not alone. See, y'all, I thank y'all for y'all honesty. Have you ever gotten a phone call from somebody and you saw whose picture it was that popped up on your phone and you said, I don't got time for your shenanigans today. You are going to get this red button in Jesus' name. Anybody ever done that? But you said, I'm not letting you get my time. Not letting you in at all. I remember not too long ago, we were sitting at the dinner table and we were eating dinner. And as we were eating dinner, we saw somebody walking down the street and walking in our neighborhood, and they looked like they were selling something. And I was saying to myself, I was like, I pray, please do not come to us. And we were sitting at the table, and slowly but surely, they started to make their way down our driveway and up the steps of our door. And I immediately said to myself, I don't even care what y'all selling. I'm not opening this door for nothing. And y'all, I'm going to tell y'all, sometimes I'm cold as ice when it comes to stuff like this, because the windows were open, the blinds were open. So I know they could see in the house while we sitting at the table, and they knocked on that door, and the Google notification popped up on the Google doorbell, and I said, not today. I'm going to sit right here and keep on eating this bowl of cereal that I'm eating right now. And I remember they were kind of like looking off to the side, you know, yes. Now some of y'all are judging me right now. I can feel the judgment coming out of your face right now. Hey, Pastor, you're supposed to be showing the love of Christ. I am. I'm giving you this truth. I don't want nothing that you got to do with me. But nonetheless, I think all of us have been in these situations where we've been on the receiving end of maybe wanting or not wanting to receive something that somebody maybe wanted to bring to us, which brings us to Matthew 21 today. Because here in Matthew 21, it really kind of connects with what we know as Palm Sunday. And as today is Palm Sunday, it represents really the beginning of Jesus's last week on earth before he would go to the cross, before his crucifixion. This week is oftentimes called Holy Week or Passion Week because it speaks about how every single day during the course of this week, Jesus did something specific and different. Matter of fact, if you follow us on our social media channels this week, we'll have different posts for each different day of the different things that Jesus did as the week goes on. But in this text, what's also happening is the beginning of what's known as Passover week. Now, for the Jewish people in Jesus' time, Passover was a major celebration. It's a time where Jews now from all over the first century Greco-Roman world would come together to this place of Jerusalem to remember what God did for them back in Exodus when he delivered them from Pharaoh, specifically how he carried them through the Red Sea on dry ground. But it also speaks to the fact how though death was sweeping all throughout the nation of Egypt as the judgment of God was raining down on Pharaoh because of all the things that he was doing to disobey God and leading to the enslavement of God's people, death was sweeping the whole nation. But what God told his people to do was to slaughter a lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and to cover their doorposts with the blood of the lamb so that as the death angel was sweeping through the nation, it would pass over their homes. Now that's a foreshadow to what Jesus ultimately came to do, because in the Old Testament they had that sacrificial lamb and the blood of the lamb that covered them from experiencing death. But now Jesus has come as the Lamb of God to shed his blood on the cross to save us from a spiritual death. Thank God for the Lamb of God. And so Passover represents this celebration, and Palm Sunday is happening on this day. But the backdrop even more of this text, family, is that the Jewish people are not only just celebrating Passover, but this text actually speaks to the context of the lives that they were living. Because in their day and time, poverty was present. Sickness was present. Even more, oppression is present because of the Roman regime that they found themselves under. In short, here's what I'm saying. Life was rough back then. Life was rough for God's people back then. They were dealing with bondage, and they were dealing with burdens, and they were dealing with brokenness. But what's interesting, y'all, is just as they were dealing with bondage and brokenness and burdens in their day and time, similarly, just like they were dealing in that day and time, we too are also dealing with the same thing today. Because we live in a time where many people are filled with despair and difficulty. People are struggling with insecurities. People are dealing with financial strains. People are dealing with emotional pain and addictive patterns of thought. And families are fractured and dreams have been deferred and hope has been lost. And many are even oppressed in their lives in different ways. And some of us, if we're honest, we're here today on this Palm Sunday and we're in a challenging place. Just like they were in a challenging place. We too are in a challenging place. But the good news is that no matter what you're facing, no matter how much you are facing right now, I'm here to let you know that no matter what's facing you right now in your life, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is also facing you. And he's not facing you with a face of condemnation and judgment. No, he's actually facing you with a heart of hope and a heart of healing and wanting to bring you some joy and wanting to bring you some things that can change your life, not for the worse, but change your life for the better. He has his eyes on you. I love this because the Bible talks about this early in the Old Testament. It talks about how we are the apple of God's eye. It means that God always has his gaze on us. And I want you to look at verse 1 of chapter 21. Notice what the Bible says. When they approached Jerusalem, everybody say Jerusalem. Now, why is this significant? Because Jerusalem is the place where Jesus would be beaten. It is the place where he would be flogged. It is the place where he would be spat on. It is the place where he would be crucified. Jerusalem was the place where he would suffer for the sins of humanity, where he would suffer for the sins of the world. Now, when we hear that initially, that might not sound like good news, but I'm actually here to let you know that it is good news. Why? Because if Jesus doesn't make his way to Jerusalem and through Jerusalem, his suffering doesn't happen. And if his suffering doesn't happen, then he's not beaten beyond recognition. And if he's not beaten beyond recognition, then now he's not wearing the crown of thorns. And if he's not wearing a crown of thorns, then that means he's not going to be tried as a criminal, though he was innocent. And if he's not tried as a criminal, though he was innocent, then that means there would be no cross. And if there's no cross, then that means there would be no crucifixion. And if there's no crucifixion, then that means that there's no moment on the cross where he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what it is that they're doing. And without any forgiveness of sin, and there, that means that there would be no death. And there was if there was no death on the cross, that means there would be no burial. And if there was no burial in the grave and in the tomb, that means there would be no resurrection. And if there was no resurrection, like Paul says, we will be dead in our sins. But thank God for all those things that happened, simply because Jesus made his way to Jerusalem and through Jerusalem. And I just want to know, is there anybody here on this Palm Sunday that's grateful for the fact that Jesus made his way to Jerusalem and made his way through Jerusalem? Thank God that Jesus did not turn away from Jerusalem, but he actually went through Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem represents a place of pain and agony and suffering. And Jesus, in his own right, could have made the decision, I'm not going to go through all of that, especially for something that I don't deserve. He could have said, I'm not going to suffer for people who have sinned constantly against the will of God and the word of God. But I'm so glad that he didn't have that spirit and that mentality. I'm so glad that Jesus said, no, I'm going to go through this pain so that way they can be healed. I'm going to go through this pain so that on the cross I can say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I'm grateful for the fact that Jesus made up in his mind that he would not turn away from Jerusalem, but turn to it. And that's why we celebrate Palm Sunday, because it represents Jesus making the decision, the conscious decision, to suffer voluntarily. Now, I don't know about y'all. If I know I'm going to suffer with some stuff, I might do everything I can to avoid it. I'm not signing up for pain. Now, I know some of y'all are more holier than me. But if you tell me, hey, listen, if you go to the gym today, you're going to tear your bicep. I'm not going to the gym. And Jesus knew exactly what he was getting himself into. He knew exactly what would happen when he would come into Jerusalem, which is why later on the Bible says that when he entered into Jerusalem, he wept over the city because he knew exactly what was going to happen. But thank God that we got a Savior who does not turn away from the pain that he had to go through to suffer for our behalf. But thank God that he went through it. He goes through Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. He goes through this place of pain. Can I pause for a minute and say this? God has given me this fresh on the spot. Can I help you understand something? Sometimes your greatest place of pain is actually the place of destiny. And so many of us have been trying to avoid pain, but many times some of the pain that we're trying to avoid, there's purpose in it. God, could you bring forth peace in my mind? Well, that might mean I gotta go through some painful moments where peace is required. For some of us, we've been trying to avoid it, but God says there can be no resurrection without a crucifixion. And many of us want Sunday morning Easter, but don't want Good Friday crucifixion. But there can be no resurrection without crucifixion. You got to go through some stuff. Some of us have maybe some underdeveloped theology and a perspective that says if I'm going through pain, that must not be God's will. Well, if that's the case, the cross wouldn't make any sense. Because Jesus went through the cross and he went to the cross. And it was on purpose and it was for a purpose. And not only did Jesus come to Jerusalem and through Jerusalem, here's the principle that I want us to get if you don't get anything else. Just as he entered into Jerusalem for a purpose, he wants to enter into your life for a purpose. And the only thing that you and I got to do is let him in. Is let him through. Because in order for us to experience all that God wants us to experience, I got to let him through. I got to let him in. It means this: I got to let him into my life personally. I got to let him into my plans. I got to let him into my heart. I got to let him into my mind. I got to let him into my marriage. I got to let him into my career. I got to let him into my studies. I got to let him in and let him through. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And the principle here is that when we do things our own way, it doesn't lead to anything good.
But when we let the King in, when we let him enter in,
that's when transformation can happen. And I want you to see what happens in verse 2. The Bible says, he told them, go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. But I want you to look at verse 1. It says, he sent two. Everybody say two. He sent two disciples on this errand. And I want to pause right there to help us understand something. That God's desire is that you and I would not do life alone, but that we would have relationships around us to help us to walk out the purpose and the calling and the plan of God for our life. So many of us have this mentality of, I don't need nobody. Yes, you do. I don't need the church. Yes, you do. I don't need anybody in my life holding me accountable. Yes, you do. Because we don't grow in isolation, we grow in community. And what God is trying to help us to understand is that we're better together. This is why we have at our church, we have what we call connect groups. This is why we have today after church, we have our newcomers connection, because it's all about us being connected to one another. This is why here at our church, we encourage you to serve, to get on the team, to serve together, to do life together, to do life outside of Sundays, to get together, to hang out, to eat meals together, to go hang out together, because God's desire is that we would be in relationship with one another. But that's another message for another time. But I want us to see something, that in Jesus doing what he's getting ready to do, which is to enter into Jerusalem, there's some truths about his entry and through Jerusalem that it's a picture for us today of some things. It's a picture of him coming into Jerusalem. It's actually a picture of some things that he wants to bring into our life if we will let him in. And I hear this and feel this so strongly from God. As I was praying into this, one of the things that God impressed upon my heart is that there are many of us in here. We will come to church, but Jesus cannot get in our hearts. The doors of the church are open, but that's not the problem. Are the doors of my heart open? Well, I let him in. Because when I let him in, y'all, there's benefits. It's blessings. Here's number one. I want you to write this down. When we let Jesus in and let Jesus through, we are able, number one, to experience the function that he came to bring. Everybody say the function. Look at verse 2. The Bible says this. Jesus told them, go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. I love this here, because Jesus says, if anybody asks you, tell them this: the Lord needs them. The Lord needs it. Why is it so profound? Because first we got to ask this question: what value does a donkey have? It's a donkey. Nobody's buying tickets to go see a donkey competition show. Y'all seen like the Macy's Day Parade? Right after the parade goes off on NBC, they have this dog show. Nobody watches that anyway. Why? I've been trying to figure out, why y'all still show this? Some of y'all getting offended right now, because like, Pastor, I watch it every year. I record it. I'm leaving this church today because of that right there. But nobody's lining up to see donkeys, right? Like, maybe horses, but donkeys, they're not the most glamorous of animals. They can sometimes be very stubborn, hard to maneuver and hard to control. Do you know what I think of when I think of donkey? I think of Shrek. And how ugly the donkey was, and his teeth, so y'all saying, oh, it's a cartoon. Nobody wanted to be around Donkey. Shrek and Donkey were always, Donkey! I can't stand you, Donkey. Nobody liked. But nobody valued the donkey. It's not something that people line up to see. But yet, Jesus has use for it. What's the person I'm trying to help us see? He has purpose for something that many would devalue. And he uses it to accomplish his purpose. In addition to this, the disciples, after they go and get the donkeys, the Bible says around verse 6 and 7 that the disciples took their own clothes and laid them on top of the donkey for Jesus to sit on. It essentially served as a straddle of some sort. And they used their own clothes, their own garments of clothing to serve Jesus. I don't know if you're catching what I'm laying down yet. But what I'm trying to help us to see is that the donkey had a purpose and the disciples had a purpose. Jesus had use for this donkey, and he had use for the disciples. Prior to Jesus stepping on this donkey and sitting on this donkey, the donkey is just sitting there tied up. It's serving no purpose. But when Jesus steps in, the donkey now serves a greater purpose. And if this donkey could talk, and some of y'all are like, donkeys can't talk. Actually, if you go back to the book of Numbers, God actually spoke through a donkey to a guy by the name of Balaam. So before there was a talking donkey in Shrek, there was a talking donkey in Numbers. And the principle I'm trying to help us to see is if God can use a donkey to accomplish his purpose, and if God can use disciples who nobody considered to be anything worthwhile in that day and time to accomplish his purpose, surely that means he also has a purpose and a function for our lives. Surely that means that he wants to do something great through our lives. Surely that means that you were not an accident. You were not created by happenstance. No, you were made on purpose. If God can get glory out of a donkey, he can get glory out of your life too. And that's good news for many of us in here today, because for many of us, you've questioned your worth, you've questioned your value, you've questioned whether or not you have purpose, you've questioned what am I on earth to do, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing with my life. But I'm here to let you know that when Jesus steps in and when you let Jesus through, he brings purpose to our life. He brings a greater function to our life. And I want you to see what happens with the donkey, because the donkey has one purpose, and do you know what that is? To lift Jesus up and to carry him into the city. To lift Jesus and to carry Jesus. Can I help you understand something? This donkey teaches us great theology, because the purpose of our life is to lift Jesus and to carry Jesus. To lift Jesus up so that way other people can see him, and to carry Jesus into places where he is not already. To carry him to our families, to carry him to our jobs, to carry him to our careers, to carry him into our community, to carry him into the classroom. Your job, my job, your purpose, my purpose is meant to lift Jesus and to carry him. That's it. Ain't nobody there to see the donkey. Can you imagine if the donkey's prancing, kicking its feet up, strutting its chest? Ain't nobody caring about you, donkey. It's who's on the donkey that's worth something. And because what's on you is worth something, now that brings value to your life. Prior to this moment, donkey, you were tied up in bondage, waiting to be used. But when Jesus stepped in, now you have a greater purpose. Now you have a greater value. And I'm here to let you know today that when you let Jesus step into your life, there is value that comes. There is purpose that comes. There is a destiny and a direction that comes into your life. And some of us have been trying to figure out, Jesus, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing in my life? Could it be that you haven't let him in your life yet? Could it be that I'm not letting him into my plans, letting him into my prayers, letting him into my direction, letting him into my goals? I want you to think about it. When's the last time you prayed about the goals that you have and asked yourself the question, or asked God, are these yours or are these mine? Is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? Because he has a greater purpose in mind. And I love this about this passage, y'all, because the donkey was already in place. Jesus already had somehow knew about all this. He's omniscient, so he knows all things. And so the principle here is that this was planned in advance. This was prepared. Why is this hope and encouragement for us? Because it lets you know that your life
God has already prepared a plan for it and a purpose for it. So here's what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God is the master planner. He does not procrastinate. He prepares. I know many of us struggle with that demon and that spirit called procrastination. But some of y'all ain't saying amen enough now. Come on, some of y'all are master procrastinators. I might qualify for that as well. I'm here to let you know Jesus is not. It's not an accident with him. It's not spontaneous with him. No, 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 no. He's playing things out. He's prepared things. And he's prepared us for a purpose. And that purpose and function is to lift him up. I want you to write this down. That our primary function in life isn't to lift ourselves up. It's to lift Jesus up. That's what Palm Sunday really speaks to. It's not about lifting ourselves up. It's about lifting him up. And so if you're trying to figure out how your life is supposed to function, you need to let the one who created you to lead you, to let him through. And one of the things worth seeing in this text is how when it comes to being used by Jesus, it always requires something from us. So in verse 7, here's what the Bible says. As I mentioned earlier, the disciples used their own garments of clothing and laid them on the donkey for the purpose of serving Jesus. Because letting Jesus in and living out his purpose, it requires me to give something up. It requires something. If you go back to the book of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus began to call some of his initial disciples, Simon, Peter, and others, there's something very, very powerful there. And I want us to read it. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says that the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word. He was standing by the lake. Verse 2 says, he saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And then he sat down, and Jesus was teaching the crowds from the boat. Verse 5, verse 4, the Bible says, when he finished speaking, he says to Simon, cast your net out into deep water and let your nets down. You know what Simon Peter says? Lord, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught nothing. These nets are empty. These nets are dry. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. I want you to, if you say so. If you say so. It don't make sense. But if you say so, I'll let it down. And verse 6 says this, and when they did this, they had such a great number of fish that their nets began to tear. And the next verse, verse 7, says that they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. What is the principle I'm trying to help us understand? Number one is this. When we do things in our own strength, we're left with empty nets. But when we do things in conjunction with the will of God and with the word of God, it leads to an abundant harvest in our life. This is where the Bible talks about that he will pour things out into your life that you don't have enough room to receive, because now you're getting in alignment and you're getting into agreement with what it is that he says. And then in verse 8 of Luke 5, the Bible says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. And for he and all those who were with him, they were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And here's what the Bible next says. Jesus says, you used to fish like this, but from now on, I'm going to help you fish for people and to catch people. He says, follow me. Now, the reason why I say all that and wanted to read that scripture is because I want to show you the principle here that I'm talking about. That when it comes to following Jesus and when it comes to doing the thing that he's called us to do, his purpose, it requires us to leave something behind. Did you not notice when Jesus said, follow me? He didn't say, follow me after they didn't catch anything. He said, follow me after they caught the catch of a lifetime. He could have easily said, y'all ain't caught nothing. Y'all ain't got nothing else to do with y'all life. Come follow me. You ain't got nothing to lose. Come follow me. No, he says, follow me after arguably the greatest catch. You're talking about them making more money with this catch than they probably have ever made in their whole lifetime as a career fisherman. And yet he says, follow me. And the Bible says, and they left everything and followed him. Because following Jesus and doing his call and working in conjunction with his purpose, it requires sacrifice. Matter of fact, I'll say this. If you haven't given anything up yet, you might not be following Jesus as close as you think you are. Because following Jesus, he's always going to put you and I in a position where we got to choose to follow him and to leave behind what success looks like. Can you imagine what some of those people were saying? Friends and family, y'all are leaving behind this? This is the catch of your life? You're gonna leave a successful career to follow him? You're gonna leave a successful job because he's calling you to leave? In my case, you're gonna change majors when you're almost done with your degree because God was calling you into full-time ministry as a junior in college? To pursue full-time ministry? What was everybody gonna say? What are people gonna think? What your parents gonna think? But following Jesus always requires something. But let me also let you know, it does cost to pursue God's purpose. Write this down. But it costs more not to. So if I don't say yes to God's call on my life 17 years ago in 2007, we're not here today. And if we're not here today, then that means hundreds of people who have given their lives to Jesus over the past year may not have happened. I don't know, but it may not have happened. There would be no Bridge Church had I not said yes to God. And it's not about me. It's about responding to the call of God on his life. I'm here to let us know that there's other people on the side of you saying yes to Jesus. I don't know why I'm spending more time on this than I wanted to. But when you say yes to Jesus, not only is your life changed, but other people's lives are changed. God's been dealing with some of you. some of y'all are like, please do not look at me. God's been dealing with some of you when it comes to the call. Some of you, he's been calling you to start something, but you're scared because of what it's going to cost. Some of you, he's calling you to leave something or to leave someone, but you're scared. Some of us are called to sacrifice in a greater way. But you're thinking about all the what-if scenarios. What if it doesn't work? What if I fail? What if people talk about me? But what will happen to your life if you don't follow this? What happens then? I don't know why I'm spending more time on this point. But I believe that there's some of you here today, God has been calling you like he's calling Peter. Follow me. Pursue me. And some of the reason why it is hard for us to pursue God is because our life is full of so much stuff that's not like God. But I hear God speaking to some of you. When are you going to stop running from the call? You've been running your whole life. Aren't you tired? Aren't you frustrated? Your nets are empty. Don't you want full nets in your life? Don't you want some peace now? It's on the other side of the step of faith. I'm gonna leave you alone because I feel like some of y'all are really messed up right now. Maybe this is for online. But he came to bring a function to our life. There's something that he wants to do in our life. But here's the second thing. Not only when we let Jesus in, is there a function that he came to bring that we experience, but now the fulfillment that he came to bring. Everybody say fulfillment. Look at verses 4-5. The Bible says this. This took place so that what was spoken to the prophet, what took place? Jesus coming, riding on a donkey. This took place so that what was spoken to the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, see your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I want you to see what's powerful here. This text says that all of this happened to fulfill, to bring to pass what was spoken and prophesied about many years before Jesus would ever step foot on earth from heaven. It was always prophesied that the Messiah would come riding on a donkey. And here Jesus is, riding on a donkey. He's fulfilling something that was promised hundreds of years before his arrival. Here's what this word fulfill means. One of the definitions of it in this text means this. It means to achieve something. It means to satisfy, or it means to meet a requirement or a condition. The arrival of Jesus is in Jerusalem is him fulfilling a promise that God had made to his people hundreds of years prior to this moment. And the reason why this is good news, family, is because it means this, that God is a promise keeper, that whatever he says, he is going to make happen, that whatever God promises, he always produces. And I don't know what God has said to you. I don't know what God has spoken over to you. And some of us are frustrated because we're like, it hasn't happened yet, and I don't see anything moving on the surface yet, but I'm here to let you know it may not happen in your time. It may not happen when you want it to happen, but if God said it, it will happen. He will fulfill it. He will produce it. He will make it happen. Why? Because his word never returns void. He will fulfill it. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that was planned and prepared. Because whatever God promises, he produces. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says it like this. It says, all of God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Which means everything in Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that God has spoken. And why is that good news? Because many of us in here are living unfulfilled lives. Some of us feel empty on the inside, empty of hope and empty of joy and empty of love and empty of peace and empty of perspective. But I'm here to let you know that the King of Kings has come so that way you can experience a refilling, so that you can experience a refreshing. I'm here to let you know that Jesus specializes in filling empty souls and filling empty spaces and filling empty lives. He majors in fulfilling things. Because one of the other definitions of fulfill, it means to fill that which is empty. And some of us have come in here today, and you have come in here on E. But I'm here to let you know that in God's kingdom and in God's economy, he has everything that you need. Some of us are lacking joy. I'm here to let you know he is joy. Some of us are lacking hope. I'm here to let you know that he is hope. Some of us are lacking love and empty of love. I'm here to let you know that he is love. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. Everything that you may stand in need of, he is the answer to it. He is the fulfillment of all things. And you can go looking for fulfillment in statuses and in substances and in sensuality, which leads to more emptiness. But I'm here to let you know that only Jesus can bring fulfillment, which is why John 10:10 says it like this, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm here to let you know that Jesus specializes in bringing life to dead places. He specializes in filling empty souls. And if Jesus is able to fulfill the scriptures, he's also able to fulfill our souls. If he can fulfill the scriptures, scriptures that were spoken of back in Genesis, y'all, when it was prophesied, even through Adam and Eve falling, that the serpent's head will be crushed by the seed of the woman. And we see later on in scripture that the seed of the woman that was prophesied about back in the book of Genesis was actually finding its fulfillment in Jesus, who would now be born of a woman virgin-wise and come now to step on the head of the serpent through the cross and through the resurrection. Thank God that we got a Savior who has come to fulfill. We got a Jesus in available for us who's come to bring fulfillment. So I'm here to let you know your spouse won't fulfill you, only Jesus can. Your job won't fulfill you, only Jesus can. That blunt will not fulfill you, only Jesus can. That bottle will not fulfill you, only Jesus can. That gambling will not fulfill you, only Jesus can. That deception won't fulfill you, only Jesus can. That sleeping around won't fulfill you, only Jesus can. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Accomplishments come and go. Jesus stays the same. People will come and go. Jesus stays the same. Jobs will come and go. Jesus will stay the same. Finances will come and go. Jesus will stay the same. Houses will come and go. Jesus will stay the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we build our lives on him and on nothing else. He brings fulfillment. It's other person besides you. Let him fill you up. He's the one that has to bring fulfillment. Can I talk to some of us in here who've been trying to find fulfillment in so many different things? You thought that more money was the answer. It's not. You thought more accolades and congratulatory remarks from people was the answer. It is not. Only Jesus is. And he fulfills scripture, which means he can fulfill your soul. Which leads to this next point, that when he enters into Jerusalem, it is a picture of him bringing function, fulfillment, but also now freedom. And I love this because the theme for our church this year is this, the year of release. And Jesus says in Luke 4 that he's come to set the captives free. And we see that here in this passage of scripture. Look at verses 8 through 9. It says, a very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches. John chapter 12, verse 13 says that they were cutting palm branches. This is where we get Palm Sunday from. They were cutting palm branches, and they were laying them on the road and from the trees and spreading them on the road. Verse 9, then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. That word Hosanna literally means to save us, to free us, to liberate us, to release us. Now, the Jewish people back then believed that the Messiah was coming for one purpose, to set them free from the Roman oppression that they were experiencing. But Jesus says, I got something greater in mind. Your issue is not that you're in bondage here and experiencing just Roman oppression. No, your issue is that you're experiencing spiritual oppression from sin, from shame, from Satan, from the elements of darkness and the principalities of darkness. Jesus came to set us free from our sin. He came to set us free from our bondage. He came to set us free, to reconcile us back to God. You and I are in desperate need of a Savior and in desperate need of a Messiah. And Jesus says, I'll come to set you free. He did come to bring salvation, salvation from our sin, salvation from our brokenness. He came to bring deliverance. He came to bring freedom to our lives, which is why 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that where the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, which means this, wherever God is, there is an opportunity to experience freedom. So the minute Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, freedom is connected to him, which means freedom is available to the people. And I'm here to let you know today that the Spirit of the Lord is here today. And just as the Spirit of the Lord is here today, for those of us who are in bondage, for those of us who are in strongholds, for those of us who are tied up, I'm here to let you know that the King of Kings, the one who's come to bring freedom, is here, and he wants to bring freedom to your life. How do we know this? Because earlier in the text, remember, Jesus said to the disciples, I want y'all to go find a colt. And he says to them in verse 2, he says, go untie the donkey, which means that the donkey was tied up. It was bound. Go untie it. Go free it. Go liberate it. Why? So that way it can function and experience the fulfillment and walk in the purpose that I've created and called it to be. I want us to take a cue from the donkey and what Jesus did there. That just as Jesus untied the donkey, he wants to untie and detangle us from the different things that we are tied up in. Some of us are emotionally in bondage. Some of us are mentally entangled. Some of us are spiritually entangled. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. He has come to bring freedom to areas where you might find yourself entangled. He has come to bring forth freedom to areas where you might find yourself in bondage. If you're in relational bondage, he's come to set you free. If you're in financial bondage, he's come to set you free. If you're in spiritual bondage, he has come to set you free. And he says this in John chapter 8, in who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm here to let you know he doesn't bring counterfeit freedom. No, he brings authentic freedom. If he sets you free, it is free. You are free indeed. And I'm talking to some of you guys in here today who are dealing with bondage in different ways in your life, and you've been praying to God, and you've been asking God, would you set me free? I'm here to let you know today that the Spirit of the Lord is here, that King Jesus is here, and he's available to you, and he's waiting for you to simply let him in and to simply let him through. Because when you begin to let him in and begin to let him through, you can experience the freedom that he wants you to experience. He says, the generational bondage and pattern that you've been dealing with in your family, it can stop with you. The addiction that you've been dealing with, it can end now. the negative thoughts that you've been dealing with in bondage to worry, you can be free. This does not have to be your life. He's come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're tied up to discouragement, I'm here to let you know that he can free you. If you're tied up to insecurity, I'm here to let you know that he can free you. If you're tied up to grief, I'm here to let you know that he can free you. If you're tied up to addiction, I'm here to let you know that he has come to set you free. Jesus came to bring freedom from our sin, from our strongholds, from spiritual bondage. And he came to do that through his death, burial, and resurrection. And for some of us in here who find ourselves under this oppressive yoke of bondage in different areas of our life, you feel like things have a hold on you. I want to give you some encouragement, and I want you to take a screenshot and write it down. Matter of fact, go tattoo it if you need to. That Jesus is able to get a hold of whatever has a hold on me. Whatever has a hold on you, your mind, your emotions, your family, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is able to get a hold of it. I'm here to let you know that he has all power in his hands. He has authority on the earth. He has authority all over the earth in heaven. He has all authority, which means if he has all authority, he also has authority over the areas that I'm in bondage to. I want to close with this, that because of Jesus being King of Kings, he has all power. He has healing power. He has the power to bring freedom. He's able to bring purpose. He's able to bring direction. He's able to bring breakthrough. And the only thing that we got to do is let him through, is let him in. For some of us, the reason why we've been experiencing maybe continual lack of forward progress in life, it's because maybe we're spending too much time being in the way of Jesus, and we need to get out of the way of Jesus. Maybe it's time for you to get out of the driver's seat of your life and get in the back seat. Not the passenger seat, because some of y'all are passenger seat drivers. Get your behind in the back seat and enjoy the ride. Let him in, let him through. That's the one thing I give this crowd some credit for. Now, a few days later, some of these same people that were saying, Hosanna, save us, giving him praise, will be saying, crucify him. We'll talk about that on Good Friday at 7 o'clock. But in this moment, they made way for him. When I think about this royal procession, one thing comes to my mind. It's not spiritual. It's just comical. It's something from a movie. I see this big deal. You know, Jesus is, he decided to not ride on a horse or an elephant, but on a donkey. A very meek, humble animal. Stubborn at times, but somewhat humble. And I thought about, some of you guys are familiar with the live action remake of Aladdin, Will Smith and a few other people in that movie. And the kids, we love to watch that. But there's a scene in there where Aladdin, you know, he's trying to woo Jasmine by pretending he's something that he's not. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. But he adopts this persona of Prince Ali. Some of y'all looking at me like, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know the song and everything. And they're saying, make way for Prince Ali. And this, all this pomp, all the circumstance. Prince Ali's riding. They got to ride on an elephant. They got a big old song. Prince Ali. I don't really know the verse of the song. Ali Ababwa, something like that. I don't know. But he's walking. It's a royal procession. When I think about this, I think about that. It's a royal procession for Jesus. Make way for him. Let him through. Let him in. And you know, the Bible says this in Psalm 24, verse 9. It says this, lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of Glory will come in. I love this verse. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of armies. He is the King of Glory. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord of armies. Lift up your heads, all you gates. Lift up your heads, all you ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come in. And I'm here to let us know the King of glory is wanting to come into your life. He's wanting to come into your marriage. He's wanting to come into your career. He's wanting to come into every aspect of your life. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Son of David. His name is Jesus Christ. The one who came to bring freedom, the one who came to bring purpose, the one who came to bring breakthrough. And for many of us in here today, Jesus has been knocking on the door of your heart. He's pulled up to your house. Will you let me in? Will you open up the door? I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. Palm Sunday is about letting our King enter in, not just Jerusalem, but our lives. And for many of us, online and in person, maybe you've been pushing him aside. Maybe you've been treating him like a telemarketer. Jesus says, I've come to give you something for free. Life, life more abundantly. All we got to do is let him in. Let him through. And I hear God saying to some of us in here right now that the answer to your problems is not more money, it's not more stuff. It's simply more of him. Letting him in. And I believe on this Palm Sunday, one of the things that he wants to do with us is to not only give us this invitation to receive him, to let him in, but to trust in him, to give him our life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I recognize that I need to let him in and I need to let him through. I've been doing things in my own strength for so long. But today I want to let him in. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel God's presence so strong right now for some of you. Because the only thing you're missing right now in your life is Jesus. You got everything except him. Can I let you know? If you got everything except him, you really have nothing at all. But if you let him through, you experience the benefits of his kingdom. So my head's about an obstacle. If you're here today, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe some of you are here, and you haven't let Jesus into your life. You haven't received him as your Lord. You haven't received him as Savior. You haven't received him as King. You don't have a relationship with him. I'm here to let you know that today can be a day of new beginnings for you. Today can be a day of healing, breakthrough, direction. If this is what you want, to receive him by faith. So my head's about and eyes are closed. So on the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand if this is you. You want to begin a relationship with Jesus and you want to let him in. On the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. If this is you. If this is you, if you're here. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Come on, if you're here, I want to let Jesus into my life. I need a relationship with him. If this is you, here's my second appeal. For those of you guys who are here today, maybe you got relationship with Jesus, but let's just be honest, you strayed away from him. You've allowed other things to lead and dictate your life, not him. He's speaking to you today. He's convicting that heart. He's not condemning you. Condemning pushes you away. Conviction draws you in. And he's tugging on your heart. And he's saying, come back to me. Come back to me by letting me in. If this is you and you're saying, Pastor, I got relationship with him, but I've drifted, but today I want to come back. I want to let him in. On the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. If this is you, I want to say yes to him. I want to receive him. Amen. If you're in person and if you're online and today you want this new beginning with Jesus, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. I'm letting you into my heart. Letting you into my mind, into my soul. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who said yes to Jesus Christ? Come on. I saw some hands go up. Come on, church family. Can we make some noise? Come on. Can we make as much noise as possible? Celebrate those who have come to Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen. If you made that decision today, we are excited for you. Can you show them how excited you are for them? It's a big deal. You get to walk into this Holy Week already accepting Jesus as your Savior. And so if you're joining us online, we're happy for you too. And so if you're watching us online, you can text I decided to 94,000 and let our team know that you made that decision, and we'll send you some next steps. If you're here in the building, there are some white connection cards in that seat. You can just check on there that you made a decision today, and our team will follow up with you this week. Place that in the drop box as you go. Amen. Amen. Also, if you would like to give, you're never forced to give here at The Bridge, but you always have the opportunity to do so. And so however God leads you in that, there are envelopes in your seat that you can place in the drop boxes by the door, or you can give online at our website. Many different options to give there as well. Amen. Amen. Who's ready to go into the week ahead with maybe some clarity, some power? You're going to have fulfillment and some freedom this week. If you are new to The Bridge, I want to remind you, you can stay right after in this service for Newcomers Connection. It'll happen right here in this room. So go grab your kids and then just stay after for a few minutes, have lunch with us. But let me pray over you before we go today. Lord, I just thank you for being here with us, for your power being felt in us today, Lord, through this service. I believe that we are taking you with us as we go. And so as we walk into the week ahead, let us be able to share something that we learned here today with someone that we'll encounter. We pray over those connection cards and over those invite cards for Easter. May people see them and be intrigued and want to know more about you. May it stir something up in them to want to come and see what Easter is all about. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week, guys.